He's the only pastor I've ever had. A lot of you teenagers, he's the only preacher you've ever had. He's been my dad. He'll still be my dad. But there's never enough that I'm ever going to be able to say to tell him how much I love him. He's the greatest preacher in the whole wide world. I don't care what names you name. I don't care about the big names. You can talk about them being great preachers, and they were. But there's none like him. There's none like Pastor Schreiber. Not one. When I came here, golly, it's been over 20 years ago. I didn't even know John 3:16. I didn't even know there were 16 verses in John when I first came here. And he allowed me to have a father-in-law that didn't beat me up, although he probably could have, probably should have. He gave me a shot being youth pastor here. Started out my first week with 11 kids. Second week I had 3. Throughout the years, he's been patient with me. Very, very patient. I'm not easy to teach. And I'm so thankful that he took the time to let me grow in grace a little bit, give me opportunities to preach all the time. I mean, I knew this day was coming, but I really didn't think it would ever come. You know? This is bigger than a man. This is the greatest church in the world. This is bigger than a man. It's always been bigger than him, and he knows that. If God's not present, what are we doing? I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't give you that confidence. I can't tell you that. I mean, we've been together 20 years. Is there a speech that I need to give? I mean, I love you. I've grown up with you too. You've grown up with me too. I mean, my wife and I have been here for, I mean, we're fixtures here. We have our own pew. It's got our brass name on it. I mean, we've been there so long. But I can tell you this, and I think you already know it. I'll never go away from the Word of God. Amen. I can tell you this, we're not changing a thing. Amen. This is all I know. This is what you got. I'm not changing anything. I really don't think we should change anything that he started. I mean, it's all I know. Thank God for that, amen. I mean, I don't know anything else. But there'll never be another one of him. Church, I believe you know that. But if I could ask you to do one thing, pray that God truly, truly blesses from this day to that for the greatest man of God that I've ever seen in my entire life. And then continues to bless from here on after. Pastor Emeritus is a title that means all the disgruntleds go see him. Dad, I love you. Well, it's too big for me. I'm going to need your help. You're going to have to pray for me. You're going to have to pray for this ministry. You're going to have to pray that God is present. You're going to have to pray that God is here, because without here, it doesn't matter who stands in this pulpit. If God's not here, it just doesn't matter. I'm kind of lost for words right now. I guess I'll just get to preaching. But preacher, I love you, and I believe this church all loves you very, very much. And thank you. He's devoted his life here. I mean, he's given everything he's got to you. Everything. And I hope and pray that we recognize that in a very real way, all the way through the rest of his days. I hope we really recognize that for the rest of his days, because he's the greatest guy in the whole wide world to be a pastor. He really, really is. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 10, verse 13. Let's all stand together as we read just one verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Aren't you glad? "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with that same temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Brother Colton, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please, please, please. Yes. 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 Amen. You may be seated. The first time that this verse had a major significance to me, I don't know if you remember Scott Knight, was here quite a while ago, passed away for various reasons, but he passed away. And I remember preacher talking at his funeral, preaching his funeral, and I remember him bringing up this verse that the Lord made a way for him to escape, and it was through going to be in heaven. And as I thought about this verse, it stuck with me in a lot of ways, because I know a lot of folks that have gone through a lot of things in their life. I know a lot of folks that have gone through trials and testings and things that they have to face every single day. And as I looked through the scripture, I thought about the title for this message. I thought about one simple statement that says, "Don't worry, Jesus is coming." Now, if you think about your life and think about the things that you go through in your life, I'm going to point out four different folks in the scripture that went through things, and you're going to know them all. It's not going to be anything new to you. But I want to let you know that there are times, I believe, in our lives that the Lord wants us to wait on Him, not necessarily wait on Him to do something great, but wait on Him to know He's coming. And the reason I say that is because sometimes it's a depressing job being a Christian. You ever notice that? I mean, it ought not to be that way, but there are times in our lives when it's very depressing to be a Christian. There are times in our lives when we think about the things that are going on in this world, and that's why I don't like watching the news, just to be real honest with you. I don't want to watch the news because I don't like what they say. I don't like to watch what's going on in the world outside of this church house because I don't like what they have to say. You say, "Well, preacher, do you like to have your head buried in the sand?" No, I just like to stay around my people. I really would like to talk about the things of God. I'd really like to talk about the things of God that are going on, the good things, the wonderful things. Dr. Howells always used to say, I'd just like to stay on topside and let all you buzzards have the meat down there. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to live my life where I'm so worried about the things of the world and so worried about those things that are out there. But those things become part of our life. You don't want to worry about it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to have it. But you all have temptations and trials in our lives that we have to go through. We have to do it. I thought about three men in the scriptures. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their real name is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's what God gave them. Their worldly names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about those men and I think about what they went through. They were doing nothing wrong. They were doing nothing wrong in their lives. And Daniel chapter 3 talks about them being thrown into a furnace for praying to God and not praying to the big statue. They got thrown in jail over worshiping God the way that God told them to worship Him. They got thrown in jail for doing that which is right, and then they got put into the burning fiery furnace. We know this to be true. But as they went, I'll never forget, I love reading it. I don't care what you say, King. We're not going to worship. If we die in there, I don't care. We're not going. And they're going through a temptation. They're going through a trial. They're going through something very difficult in their life. But hold on. Just wait a minute, because Jesus is coming. They look inside the fire. By the way, none of us have had to face a fiery furnace. We're all just excited that our furnaces get fire in the winter. We've never had to face that kind of persecution, but there they are thrown into this place. And they could have said, I don't want to go. They could have said, I don't want to do it. They could have given up and said, I don't want to do it anymore. But say, no way, because Jesus is coming. Throughout our lives, it's so easy to forget the times that Jesus has shown up. It's so easy to forget the times that Jesus has come on the scene. I preached this morning about Him being our deliverer in Sunday school. The man, the only man that was able to deliver the goods of your eternal security. Deliver the goods of your eternal redemption. Deliver the goods of making a place for us in heaven. Deliver the goods for that redemption that we hold on to by shedding His own blood and taking care of all the sins of all the world. He shows up and He takes care of us being our deliverer. And we look through this persecution. And by the way, I don't believe we suffer persecution today. I really don't. Some might call you names. But that's not persecution. Some might ask for the preaching tapes down in Texas. I've heard that story. It's hilarious to me. Some mayor is asking the preachers to hand over their sermon tapes. I'd do you one better, mayor. Come to church. You might as well hear it live. Why hear it Memorex? I'm going to talk about you the same in church with you here as I am not, so you might as well come. But through this persecution, don't worry, boys. Jesus is coming. He shows up in the furnace. You know the story. They weren't hurt. They weren't singed. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. People died throwing them in, but the boys walked out just like nothing ever happened. You know, through our life and our persecution, you might be going through some, might not understand why, but understand this, Jesus is coming. Understand this, He's on His way. You might be worried about it today, but understand this. Jesus is on His way, and He will not give you a temptation that you're not able to bear. He will not give you a temptation you're not able to overcome. He will not give you something in your life that you can't get through. Believe me, Jesus is on His way. Number two is in John chapter 11. Let's turn there for a moment. John chapter 11, verse 43. If you think about the things that come up to this verse, this man had died. He was dead. This man's name is Lazarus. You've heard of his name a million times. And it's amazing how the world gets all out of sorts. Your physical health is very important. And I'm going to talk to you about physical health here for a moment. We talked about persecution of being a Christian. Now we're talking about physical health of the believer. No doubt there, we immediately go to Pastor Skyver, Brother Sells. I mean, there's lots of you, Brother Edwards, that have had physical ailments through your life. And it's amazing as we go through these things and watch them from the other side of God bringing us through. Watch them from the other. And by the way, let me help you out a little bit. Well, what about Miss Nowak? She passed away. Well, she got the ultimate healing. Preacher's still here. I'm going to tell you right now, she's walking streets of gold. Do you realize that? Brother Fiscus, his wife, sweet wife Betty, she's walking streets of gold in heaven right now. Well, he didn't deliver Betty. He didn't deliver me. He did the whole better job of delivering her than they ever did anybody that stayed around here. When Jesus delivered them, they walked in the streets of gold. When Jesus delivered them, they looked into his eyes. When Jesus delivered them, he took them to their mansion. When Jesus delivered them, they were in no more pain, no suffering, no tears. He still goes through things every single day of his life. He still goes through things every day of his life. He goes through things every day of his life. They are no longer going through them because Jesus showed up. We go through these things and they're not fun. We go through these things and they're not easy. But I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus shows up, things happen. If you look at these verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. We go through physical trials in our life, and I'm going to tell you, they don't get taken care of soon enough, and you know that to be true. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to have physical problems. Nobody wants to have them, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming, because if we pray to him and ask him, I guarantee you, the people that knew Lazarus, Lord, Lord, if you'd have got here, he'd have not died. Lord. Can I ask you something? Would we have gotten close to God if our preacher hadn't been in a coma for 14 days? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Brother Bob, the greatest thing ever happened to you is so wonderful. I was giggling to myself while you were saying it. He's the greatest thing ever happened to him is him getting sick. Isn't that crazy? What? Because Jesus showed up. Because he needed to be in that position so Jesus could show up. Where was he at before? He wasn't thinking about the Lord near like he thought about the Lord after his sickness. Jesus showed up. The elders were packed out. We had a church service on a Sunday morning where they almost ran me over coming down to the altar to pray for their man of God. Well, I don't think it was great that he was in a coma, but I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was glorified. Jesus was held up. Jesus came. Now, if he goes in, double pneumonia, if God heals you day two, do we go to the altar? If God heals you day one, do we go to the altar? We have trouble praising God over him giving us something good during the day. You think we're going to praise God? Just, well, it must not have been what we thought it was. But here we go. We're in this spot, all the people around. Hey, Lazarus has died. Jesus, if you'd have just come, man, he could have not died. Jesus says, I do this so you get close to me. I do this so I get glory. I do this because I need to prove to you who I am. Why do we go through physical problems? Here's the answer. I have no idea. No idea. But I know a man who does know. And when we are in our toughest times, just hold on. Jesus is coming. Just hold on. Jesus is coming. He will not give us a temptation greater than we can bear. He will not do something in our life that we are not able to overcome with his help. Think about Mark chapter 5. Let's turn over there. We suffer through persecution. We suffer through physical problems in our health. Mark chapter 5. Sometimes we suffer through spiritual sickness as well. Sometimes we know of others that suffer through spiritual sickness. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, they came over to under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But then comes Jesus. Well, see, that's a horrible thing. Man, now this guy suffered for a long time. He's going through all these spiritual problems in his life and he needs somebody. Why didn't Jesus come sooner? You just hold on. Jesus is never late. You just wait. Jesus is always on time. You just wait because Jesus is coming. Why do we stop praying for our lost loved ones that don't want to know Christ? Why do we stop praying for them? Because Jesus didn't do it soon enough? Hold on. Jesus is coming. How many stories have you heard over and over and over again about somebody that got saved and we prayed for them for a long time and they finally got saved? How many people do you know in your family that could use Jesus Christ as a Savior? Don't stop praying for them. Hold on, Jesus is coming. Sometimes it feels like he's so far away, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like he's not there, doesn't it? Now, you're in a Baptist church, you're not going to admit to that, are you? The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I'm going to be honest with you, doesn't it feel like sometimes, Jesus is so far away. I wonder if sometimes he does that just to see if we'll start looking for him. You hear story after story about little kids, and my mom and dad did this to me when I was little. I imagine every parent has neglected their children in this way. We used to go to Kmart all the time when I was a kid. Kmart was it. If there was a little blue light going around, my mom was on a dead sprint. Most of you probably don't know what that is, but blue light specials were something special back then, you know, amen. But I had a thing for the toys. And I would see the toy aisle and it was like a tractor beam. I couldn't stay away from it. And my mom and dad would always be having their shopping list or whatever, and they're looking at their list. Next thing you know, Junior's on the toy aisle. What did I care? I wanted to hold on to the play swords and bats and everything. I didn't care what she was doing. I knew what aisle I needed to be in. And one day, every parent, I'm sure, does this one time or another. My mom hid from me. And you look around and come to this thought process, well, wait a minute. I'm all alone here. Started to be afraid. Started to wish that mom would come. She stayed away just too long, right? Because now I'm scared. It made me appreciate my mom being with me because then I found her. Yeah, I wonder if there are times when Jesus just wants us to look for him. Just wants us to look for him in the middle of our physical problems, in the middle of our spiritual problems, in the middle of our normal persecution of everyday life problems. I wonder if there's times that Jesus does these things to us or for us or through us. Take your pick of adjectives. I wonder if there's times that Jesus does this just so we can say, man, Jesus, would you please come? I need you now. Please help me. I wonder if Jesus does that because he wants to hear from us, see from us, listen for us. I wonder if there's times in our life when we start to walk down that toy aisle without Christ. And he hides around the corner just long enough to make you wonder where he's at. Maybe I'm the only one. But there's days in my life when it feels like the Lord's not very near me. You're a preacher. He'd go through it every Monday, where it just feels like the Lord is so very far. Don't worry. You that need help spiritually, don't worry, Jesus is coming. He's coming to help you today. John 19:30, we talk about Jesus coming for the payment of sin. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, turn to John with me. John chapter 19, verse 28, the Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it into his mouth and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Why do you read that, preacher? That sounds crazy. Well, we sinners needed a Savior. Talked about the Deliverer this morning in Sunday school, as I said before. He brought the goods to the cross. He shed his blood there for you and for me. In a sin-cursed, dying world. Hold on a minute, world. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come, and if you don't know him as Savior, I don't understand why you wait another day. When to know in your life that you have got that sin. Everyone in this room is a sinner, myself included, preacher included. I don't care who it is. Everyone under the sound of my voice is a sinner. And if you've never accepted him as your Savior, I can tell you this one thing for sure. Jesus desperately wants you to get saved. He desperately wants you to know him. He paid the price in full. He went to that cross on Calvary. Why? Because everybody down in that paradise, that man on the cross said, please, Lord, I guarantee you that day, Jesus says, hold on, world, I am coming. Maybe I'll get excited about that then. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait to get to heaven someday. I can't wait to get to heaven where these former things that we talk about are passed away. I can't wait to get to heaven when the things that have gone on before, those things that have come into our life, are now gone, no more, taken care of by Christ. Isn't that going to be a wonderful time? I'm glad he came for the payment of sin. But as we turn just a couple chapters back, just a few chapters back, I find myself talking about this more and more. I find myself thinking about this more and more. If you look at John chapter 14 and you look at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you've got the NIV, you've only got a room. But I've got the King James Bible. It tells me I've got a mansion. I don't know about you. I've stayed in rooms. I've never stayed in a mansion. I'm pretty excited about the mansion, amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christian, I know this life is hard. I know this life is difficult. I know the things that we go through are not easy. But just hold on. Jesus is coming. I know we're going to go through that. You know, we talk about politics all the time. You know what? Washington can have them. I hope they stay up there. Don't do any whistle-stop tours in Ravenna. I'm not interested in what any of them have to say. I know this, that our old world is in God's hands no matter what happens. And believe me, it ain't going to go good. But hold on. Jesus is coming. We talk about it, and I tell you, I say this all the time. We talk about a great sound from heaven, that great voice. Come up hither. And us Baptists are going to say, what was that? We talk about it all the time, and we're going to go up and be surprised. You say to me, I'm not. Yes, you are. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. You can turn off CNN. We've got a better news broadcast in our King James Bible. You can turn off C-SPAN. We've got a better news broadcast in our Bible. You can turn off Fox News. We've got a better news broadcast right here in the King James Bible, because we know that Jesus is coming. Well, I don't like putting up with this world. I'm sure you don't. But God has put you here for a reason. And I think we ought to be about His business. I think we ought to be about what's going on, because I'm going to tell you, it's not too long. It's not too long. I said it's not too long, and Jesus is coming back. It's not too long, and we'll be on white horses. It's not too long, we'll be walking streets of gold. It's not too long, and we're going to make that flight. It's not too long, and we're going to see heaven. It's not too long, we're going to see our mansion. It's not too long, we're going to drink Dairy Queen in the foyer of my house. I'm going to have me a whole bathtub full of blue raspberry Mr. Misty Freeze. That's heaven bound right there. There's no way God would leave that down here. A straw this big. You say you can't make your mouth that big. Well, I bet you not too many of you said that. I'm going to drink that thing as fast as I possibly can. You know why? No brain freeze in heaven, praise God. The things of this earth should grow strangely dim. And there are things of this earth. Come on now. Stay with me for a minute. There are things in this earth, in our lives, that are a whole lot brighter than they really should be. The trials, the torments, the daily life. Christian, you know this? We've got one thing in common in this room. We all live life every day. We all go through things differently every day. They're different. I mean, whatever it is, what it is, but everybody has them. Everybody has trials. You might have just lost your job. You might have just gone through something health-wise. You might have a spiritual need to get closer to God and closer to His Bible and reading His Bible. I can't tell you enough how important it is to read your Bible. You might have a time in your life where your prayer is falling apart, or you've had things come into your life that you just don't understand. You may have those, and we all do. But the Bible tells us that Jesus will never give us something we can't handle, because He's going to help us. So I'm asking you, Bethel, to do this. Hold on. Hold on. You'll make it through it. You'll make it through what you're going through, and hold on. Because Jesus is coming. Hold on. Jesus is coming. I used examples from the Bible, but I got to be honest with you. I could have stayed in this room. Think about that for a minute. Do you know I could have stayed in this room and gone through person after person after person after person after person where Jesus showed up? Maybe not in our time. Maybe not in what we wanted, and maybe not in the way that we wanted. But how good is God? How good is God when His way is the right way, even when we don't see it? His path is the right path, even when we don't know it. His thoughts are the right thoughts, even when we don't think them. Hold on! Bethel, hold on! People of God, hold on! Those under the sound of my voice, hold on! Because Jesus is coming! Aren't you going to be glad when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that will be. What a day of rejoicing it'll be, because all the former things are gone! I tell you, I can't wait to see Paul. I can't wait. Man, that'll be great to see Paul. Paul, tell me how you felt when the Lord gave you that verse, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Tell me how you felt. He'll say, "I don't remember being a wretched man." Ha ha! I'm going to tell you right now, we think about the things of God and the things that happen in our life, and I know that God doesn't show up maybe when we want Him to, but He is coming. There's going to be a day when that trumpet does finally sound. So what we have to do here, we need to do while we can, because He is coming. Well, you can't do it the way you used to do it. No, God is still real. God is still the same. We don't change a thing. He's coming. Well, they won't get on the buses like they used to. Hogwash, they're getting on the buses every day. Well, VBS needs a light show and laser light. No, it doesn't. It needs Christ. Well, you need coffee in the foyer. No, you don't. We got it in the Becca building. Now everybody's going to stop in the Becca building before they come over here. Don't bring your cups in here now. This isn't a restaurant. Bethel, hold on. Just hold on. Jesus is coming. Just hold on. He's coming. He's coming in your life. He's coming in your trials. He's coming in your spirituality needs. He's coming in every part of your life. And not only that, he's coming when eternity comes. I think Jesus is coming. And I think we ought to thank God for that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, this morning has been overwhelming. Lord, we need you. I don't even know how we can even say how much we need you. Because we face things every single day. And Lord, we don't understand it. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you're coming. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're going to be here for us. Lord, if we'll just be patient and wait on you and see your deliverance, you'll make a way for us to escape. Lord, your Bible says that. I believe that's a promise. So Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to wait on you. Help us, Lord, to see your deliverance. Help us, Lord, to just be patient. Because you are coming. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, you know what? I know 100% sure that if I died right now, I'd go straight to heaven because he showed up and saved my soul. Can you raise your hand real big and tall? You know for sure 100%. You can put your hands down. How many can say, you know what? I really don't know, but I sure would like to know. That if I died right now, that I'd go to heaven. Because if you don't know, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Real simple. If you do not know that you're saved, but you sure would like to know, could you put your hand up real big and tall? I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you. I give you my word, but I sure do want to pray for you. Dear Jesus, these are a needy people. Lord, I'm a needy person. Lord, I need you in every aspect of my life now more than I ever have. Lord, please be very real to me. Please, Lord, help me. I know you're coming. Lord, please come. And I thank you so much for the greatest pastor in the whole wide world. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to say it. But Lord, he has been the greatest man of God that anyone could ever have. Lord, please be with us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.